Well, praise the Lord. It's wonderful to be in His house today. Please turn in your Bibles to the book of Hebrews, chapter 4. Victory belongs to the most tenacious. So the slogan flies, etched above the playing surface of an illustrious stadium. Tenacious. Tenacity. And to the most obstinate, the one who leaves an indelible mark, an enduring mark. Hebrews 4:14, seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. Verses 14 to 16, reading from the Amplified. Inasmuch then as we believers have a great high priest who has already ascended and passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession of faith and cling tenaciously to our absolute trust in Him as Savior. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize and understand our weaknesses. Our weaknesses and our temptations. But one who has been tempted, knowing exactly how it feels to be human in every respect as we are, yet without committing any sin. Therefore, let us, with privilege, approach the throne of grace. That is the throne of God's gracious favor, with confidence and without fear. So that is, that we might receive mercy for our failures and find His amazing grace to help in time of need, an appropriate blessing coming just at the right moment. The tenacity of Christ, the tenacious nature of the Son of God, this is our Jesus. The drive and the determination, the persistence, the steadfastness of Jesus. There is no doubt that He left an indelible mark, an endurable mark, one who would not be moved, would not be shaken, would not be persuaded otherwise. He understands our human weakness. He understands our temptations, for He Himself was tempted. He knows exactly how it feels to be human, and yet the Bible declares that He knew how to be human without sin. Is this possible? I am not suggesting we will never trip up. And yet listen to these words. 1 John 1:8 to 2:2. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. If any man sin, not when. And you say, what's the difference? J.B. Phillips, New Testament. I write these things to you. May I call you my children, for that's how I think of you. To help you avoid sin. But if a man should sin, remember that our advocate before the Father is Jesus Christ the righteous. The one who made personal atonement for our sins. And for those of the rest of the world as well. I write these things to you. You know, love and obedience are essentials for living in the light. An excerpt. The word sin has virtually disappeared from modern conversation. Afraid of sounding judgmental, we call sin something else. A mistake, an addiction, a tendency, a bad decision. And ignore it as normal and natural behavior. But John is calling the church to a radical holiness where those in the church will regularly remember their sins and seek God's forgiveness. Each sin, small and large, injures us or someone else. It imprints on our soul and makes us imperfect and separates us from the perfect God. If we confess our sins to God each day, then He will purify our hearts and draw us closer to Him. Our text reading from the Voice Bible. If we go around bragging we have no sin, then we are fooling ourselves and are strangers to the truth. But if we own up to our sin, God shows that He is faithful and just by forgiving us of our sins and purifying us from the pollution of all the bad things we have done. If we say we have not sinned, then we depict God as a liar and show that we have not let His word find its way into our hearts. You are my little children, so I am writing these things to help you avoid sin. If, however, any believer does sin, we have a high-powered defense lawyer, Jesus the Anointed, the Righteous, arguing on our behalf before the Father. It was through His sacrificial death that our sins were atoned. But He did not stop there. He died for the sins of the whole world. I so love that, an advocate, a high-powered defense lawyer, Jesus the Anointed, the Righteous. Now, we are not so foolish as to abuse this truth. Titus 2, verses 11 and 12, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, a holy denial, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age. Welcome to this present age. Romans 6, verses 1 to 4, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? Therefore, we were buried with Him through baptism into death. Repent and be baptized, everyone. That just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Old things passed away. New creation life. The change. The transformation, the proof. Hebrews 10, verses 26 and 27, for if we sin willfully, after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful expectation of judgment and fiery indignation, which will devour the adversaries. If we sin, literally, if in case. You say, how is it possible that we live a sin-free life? This if-in-case existence. Thoughts. immoral, unrighteous, sinful, should they come and we take them into captivity as the Word of God directs, we have not sinned. And yet if we dwell on them and let them dwell and swell. Just one example. But what have we read? The King James Version, my little children, these things write I unto you that ye sin not. Philip's New Testament, I write these things to you. May I call you my children, for that's how I think of you, to help you. To help you avoid sin. The Voice Bible, you are my little children, so I'm writing these things to help you avoid sin. The Message paraphrase, I write this, dear children, to guide you out of sin. And what of these verses? Psalm 119, 9 to 16, how can a young man cleanse his way? Any young person in the house? Any young believer in the house? Young Christian in the house? Or perhaps the aged need the word today. How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. With my whole heart I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. Your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. With my lips I have declared all the judgments of your mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of your testimonies as much as in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts and contemplate, that is, look into your ways. I will delight myself in your statutes. I will not forget your word. You know, I have an old Bible that's been passed down, and in the front cover, these words are written. Sin will keep you from this book, or this book will keep you from sin. I, too, have a hardcover copy of the book of Proverbs and a note in the front written in ink. I've shared this before. What's written in ink is this: a proverb a day keeps the devil away. Mine for gold. We need to get in the Word. We need to get the Word into us. We need to be literate amidst an illiterate generation. You see, the Word of God guides, the Word of God protects, the Word of God convicts. The Word of God speaks in the moments of trial and temptation. The Word of God is power. There are those that own a dirt devil to get rid of the dust. And yet, there is a dirt devil that desires every Bible forsaken and covered in dust. The things written that we sin not, they're for our help. Written to help us avoid sin, written to guide us out of sin. Yes, the Word of God. How precious and how beautiful. How privileged we are to have His Word. Your Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light under my path. And we know this truth, John 14, 26, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you. Class is in session. He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. The work of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer. This is the power. the power we so desperately need active in our lives and in our living, the Amplified Classic, but the Comforter, Counselor, Helper, Intercessor, Advocate, Strengthener, Standby, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, in my place, to represent me and act on my behalf. He will teach you all things, and he will cause you to recall, will remind you of, bring to your remembrance everything I have told you. Oh, church, we need the word. There is no doubt. And we need to hold fast our confession of faith and cling tenaciously to our trust in Jesus as Savior. Let us hold on firmly to what we believe. Let us hold tightly to our faith. Hold the confession. Acknowledge the faith. It's a day for the tenacity of our Savior, our Lord, the one who showed us the way and is leading us now on the way as we follow and keep in stride with him. It's a day for his tenacity to live in us, to arrest a generation, to possess a generation, consume a generation, ignite a generation, and impel a generation. To live like him, to follow in his ways. To look like him. To talk like him. To act like him. To serve the great kingdom on this side of eternity. As Jesus did. Cling tenaciously to him. You say he doesn't understand what's going on in my world. Listen, he understands human weakness. He understands trial. He understands temptation. He understands pressure and persuasion. He understands it all. He understands loneliness. He understands rejection, slander, abandonment. He understands it all. He knows exactly how it feels to be human. Yet without sin. Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. You know, how can we lose with the Word, the Holy Ghost, and our Jesus? It is not only possible, but a ready reality that we too might know how to be human and yet without sin. And if in case, existence. I share these words today. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. 2 Thessalonians 2:7. The Greek word Paul uses for iniquity in this passage means literally lawlessness. Therefore, the mystery is one of lawlessness, meaning that multitudes are going to act without law or restraint. Yet this lawlessness is not simply a rebellion against the rule of man. It is not about rebelling against civil authority or committing robbery, rape, or murder. These things do provoke God's wrath, but the mystery of lawlessness goes much deeper. It is an outright rejection of the truth that is in Christ, a casting aside of God's holy word, and rebellion against the restraints of Scripture. This spirit of lawlessness is rampant in our nation today. It is the force behind the legislation that seeks to banish God from our society. And the same spirit that Satan used to deceive Eve when he told her, in so many words, God is easy. He won't punish you for disobeying. You can eat the fruit and indulge your lust, and you won't have to pay for it. Today, Satan is using this same lie to convince masses of believers that they can indulge their sins without paying any penalty. It is a demonic scheme to pervert Christ's gospel of grace and turn it into a message of licentiousness, Tragically, many lukewarm Christians are succumbing to this spirit of lawlessness. Paul says the Antichrist will rise to power because people will be blinded and deceived by their own sin. After the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. 2 Thessalonians 2, 9 and 10. Satan will deceive masses of people by convincing them of a subtle but powerful lie, just as he convinced Eve. God doesn't punish sin. Paul says this deception will come with all deceivableness because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. He then adds, for this reason, God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie. This is New Testament. The apostle is saying those who refuse to obey or respect God's word, one might add compromise concession, will fall under a powerful delusion. At first they will wink at their sin and justify it, but soon they will actively seek out a message of easy grace. Welcome to the day. They will invent a grace that is far beyond what God intended. His grace never leads to license. It always leads to repentance. You know, there's a wonderful portion of Scripture found in the book of Ezra. Ezra chapter 7, beginning at verse 6. This Ezra came up from Babylon, and he was a skilled scribe in the law of Moses, which the Lord God of Israel had given. The king granted him all his request according to the hand of the Lord his God upon him. Some of the children of Israel, the priests, the Levites, the singers, the gatekeepers, and the Nethinim came to Jerusalem in the seventh year of King Artaxerxes. And Ezra came to Jerusalem in the fifth month, which was in the seventh year of the king. On the first day of the first month, he began his journey from Babylon. And on the first day of the fifth month, he came to Jerusalem according to the good hand of his God upon him. For Ezra had prepared his heart to seek, that is, study the law of the Lord, and to do it, and to teach statutes and ordinances in Israel. The Voice Bible reads, Ezra's exodus from this foreign empire was successful because he was supported by his true God. He was a second Moses and tenaciously studied, practiced, and taught the Eternal's law to Israel. Is it not true that we belong to a different empire? A higher empire, a greater empire, a holy heavenly empire. And we are on an exodus out of this foreign empire as one day we will cross the water into glory. And yet, even now we are being taken on an exodus from this foreign empire. And let our success, and let the success come. Our success is because of the support of our true God. And as it was with Ezra, so let it be with us, that we tenaciously study, practice, and teach the law of the Lord. Sons and daughters of the Most High God, parents, grandparents, teach it and live it. Word and deed, tenaciously, most obstinately. Listen, future generations depend on it. Here they hang in the balance. Here they hang in the balance. Your sons and daughters. And those yet to come. All victory belongs to the most tenacious. So the slogan flies, etched above the playing surface of the illustrious stadium of life. Is there not a great cloud of witnesses watching us as we run our race? Oh, if we could hear them cheering us on. If we could see them cheering us on, you know, life would change. Things would change. Should these words aid today? I believe the last day revival so many preach about is a revival of cleansing. If the work of the Holy Spirit is to convict the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment, then it is certain that in a great Holy Ghost outpouring, there will be powerful waves of conviction. And a careless, indulgent church will be shaken and forced to face her sins. While multitudes of Christians chase after signs and miracles and flock to teachers of success and prosperity, God has been calling out a wilderness people who are consumed with hunger for more of Christ. Right now, a glorious company is coming forth. One day God began to stir their hearts, and they became disillusioned with all the hypocrisy and shame. They got into the Word of God and saw for themselves what His ultimate purposes are. They put on Christ's robe of righteousness by faith, submitted to the claims of Christ, and decided to walk alone, if necessary, to be wholly obedient to Him. They set themselves to hear and understand the Lord's will. They began to see things in the Spirit and were made to understand that the end of all things is at hand. To these, the word of the Lord has come. Christ is coming. Repent, for the day of the Lord is near. Lay aside every besetting sin and set your affection on things above. Do not partake in the empires and dreams of men. Forsake it all and go out to meet Him. That word is being proclaimed loud and clear. Can I remind you who you are today? Can we be reminded, according to the Word of God, 1 Peter 2, 9 to 12, ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God. Which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Chosen, royal, holy, peculiar, in the world, not of it. Be tenacious, most tenacious, and claim the victory you supported of God. Cling tenaciously to your absolute trust in Him as Savior. He understands your human weakness. He knows and understands your temptations. He knows exactly how it feels to be human. To be human and yet without sin. The one who Himself remains spiritually tenacious, and we know that the victory belongs to Him. Every victory. And I must say today that there is a strain in life that seeks to strip us of tenacity, the tenacious nature that is to mark the saints. What is the strain? Waiting for God. To remain tenacious in the waiting and through the waiting. And here too, The victory belongs to the tenacious. What I'm about to read will hold great meaning for some here today. And may we all remember this when the time of need comes. The words of Oswald Chambers: tenacity is more than endurance. It is endurance combined with the absolute certainty that what we are looking for is going to transpire. Tenacity is more than hanging on, which may be but the weakness of being too afraid to fall off. Tenacity is the supreme effort of a man refusing to believe that his hero is going to be conquered. The greatest fear a man has is not that he will be damned, but that Jesus Christ will be worsted. That the things he stood for, love and justice and forgiveness and kindness among men, will not win out in the end. That the things he stands for and stood for look like will-o'-the-wisps. Then comes the call to spiritual tenacity, not to hang on and do nothing, but to work deliberately on the certainty that God is not going to be worsted. If our hopes are being disappointed just now, it means that they are being purified. There is nothing noble the human mind has ever hoped for or dreamed of that will not be fulfilled. One of the greatest strains in life is the strain of waiting for God. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience. Remain spiritually tenacious. We can have the worship team return today. Press on, pilgrim. Press on. And know who you are. And know why you are. And know whose you are. You know, take pride in being peculiar. Stand tall and let each stride be the stride of one chosen, royal, holy, peculiar, in the world, not of it. Pine each and every day to be more like the tenacious one who holds every victory. Oh, Lord God, sanctify, set apart, and cleanse. With the washing of water by the word, present unto thyself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that the bride be holy and without blemish. Claim your spotless bride, Lord. If it be but a little flock, so be it. Remember what Jesus said? You know, so many were following him and then they just walked with him no longer. Little flock. Might there be 7,000? Hallelujah for 7,000 that have not bowed to Baal. Every mouth that has not kissed him. Listen, our knees belong to Jesus. And may we kiss the Son and him only. Tenacious. Tenacity. Lord Jesus, work in our lives. I so encourage us all here today. Get in the book. Get the book in you. Fill up. That in those times of human weakness and temptation and trial, and when strong delusions come and winds of doctrines come and all these things come, guess what? The Holy Spirit will be inside of you, bringing to remembrance the Word, quickening the Word in you at the right moment, in the moment, in the moment, in the moment. When the thoughts come all of a sudden, that Word. But we have to get in the Word and get the Word in us. And it takes work. It takes discipline, principle. You got to like make an appointment with God and keep it, you know what I'm saying? You know what happens if we let things slide? We don't fill up. It's like we don't even know what's really in here. And then the enemy comes and he can really mess with things. But if we know the word, you see, know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Know the word, know the word. It's power. It's what we need. That sword. Surrender to the Holy Spirit when the Holy Spirit comes to remind you, comes to remind us of the things that we've been taught by Jesus. And, you know, be content with being who you are and who you're called to be. And understand that you're chosen. Royal, holy, peculiar, set apart unto, different, in the world, not of it. You know what? We need to become okay with that. We actually need to fall in love with that kind of an existence. Embrace it and make it our own and be so thankful for it. And as we do, pretty soon, you know what? We'll see clearer and clearer and clearer and clearer. The smoke, the fog, the word will cut right through. Holy living will cut right through. We'll start to see things as they really are. Lord, keep your church holy. Sanctify your church, Lord. We want to be like you. Be holy as I am holy, says the Lord. We want to be like you. It's not just about a ticket to glory. We're so thankful for the gift of salvation, but Lord, now work the process of sanctification in our lives. Beautify us, Lord. Take us from glory to glory, from strength to strength. That each and every day we would shine brighter and the next brighter and brighter.